I have chosen a reading from the book of Proverbs today, first chapter, verse 7 through 9. Various things that were coming to me last night and yesterday afternoon, and then I noted that certain passages, scriptures that I had chosen, pointed to the counsel of a father to his children or to his son. And then I awoke to the fact that also is Father's Day today. So part of the sermon will even be along that line, in as much as it is the counsel of a father to his children. And also this day we have in the scriptures the counsel of our Heavenly Father to each one of us. And we might pay particular note to this wise counsel within the scriptures. Verses 7 through 9 in the first chapter of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. There is much in this small passage of scripture today. Number one, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The knowledge of that which would point our soul with eternity with God and Christ. But it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That wisdom of the Lord that would bring to a reality the great promise of life eternal. But those who would despise this and this instruction, it is to their detriment. And then, as he said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. It is important that we note the wise instruction contained within many of these scriptures. And forsake not the law of thy mother. So it shows here the importance of fathers and mothers and their responsibility to their children. I would like to turn over to the fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs. This involves the first 7 verses. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. So again, the importance of hearing the instruction of a father. And it says, hear ye children. And it's important this day that the children hearken to such wise counsel and attend to no understanding, an understanding of the way of life, an understanding of the scriptures that will make this a reality. For he said further here, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. And when he's talking here and expounding to the children, his father, to his children and to his son, we find in this instance that he says, I give you good doctrine, but to forsake not my law. And this law involve the commandments of Christ and God. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also. Another important phase of this, the importance of the fathers and yes, the mothers, teaching their children and the way they should go. Let thine heart retain my words. Keep the words of these scriptures. Keep my commandments and live. Again, wise counsel. Keep the commandments of the Lord and live. Much of the heartache that exists in the world today would need not even be if one would do, but would have heeded the wise counsel contained in these scriptures. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. So we have outlined here again the importance of wisdom, the importance of understanding. I would like to use, before I complete this reading, another oft used passage of scripture from the third chapter of the book of Proverbs in verses 13 through 18 because it ties with this wisdom. It ties with this knowledge and this understanding of the Lord that is so vital to each one of us. It is vital in the day in which we live. It is vital in where you and I learn to pray, place our priorities. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. So this shows happiness goes along with this wisdom of the Lord. And the man that getteth understanding. Yes, the understanding of the way of life. So this has as a benefit this day, happiness. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. And man, since the beginning, has sought after the gain connected with silver and gold. But the merchandise of this wisdom and this understanding of the Lord is better than this. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her, unto this thing called wisdom, unto this thing called understanding. And oftentimes referred to in the feminine gender as her and she, and it says she is more precious than rubies. And all the things you can desire in this world are not to be compared unto wisdom in your life. The ability to deal wisely in our decisions, it's a constant thing. It's even a daily thing. Every day we're called upon to make decisions. And our life is benefited if we make them with the wisdom of God. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Not earthly riches, not earthly honor that one could heap upon himself, but that riches that will last for eternity. That riches, yes, that can be laid up in heaven, where Jesus Christ said, neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves may not break through and steal. For we are told by Jesus Christ, where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. So how important is it that we lay up things that are vital for our soul well-being? For as Christ so aptly said, where our treasure, where our heart is, there is our treasure also. So it is important that we lay up treasurable things of a valuable nature. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. Those who take wisdom into their lives, those who take the understanding of the scriptures into their lives, those who seek after that heavenly knowledge that this book time and time again counsels each one of us to seek after. And so her ways are ways of pleasantness. And all too often, the ways of man are not ways of pleasantness. And yet this is outlined. This is the way. And all her paths are peace. Yes, man can live in this world in a state of peace in his inner being. And that peace, even as Paul said, that passeth understanding, can be yours this day. It can be mine. All we need to do is reach out and hearken unto these wise counsels of the scriptures. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Upon this wisdom, you who learn in this life to make wise decisions pertaining to your soul welfare, it becometh a tree of life unto you. And that tree of life, as Lehi and Nephi both saw in that marvelous vision or dream, as it is variously referred to, is a representation of the love of God. And the way therein to get there is to walk the straight and narrow path, which has a rod of iron, which is a representation of the Word of God, that we might press forward and one day partake of the fruit of that tree, that love would flood our being. Yes, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. So happiness can be more a part of man's life by retaining this wisdom and this understanding of the Scriptures. Now these things, to me, are plain. They should be plain to the understanding of everyone in this room who has ability to understand. Yes, this happiness can be ours, this thing. Well, let's go back to the fourth chapter of Proverbs, and I'll reread verse 5 and then read further. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. So this father said, hear ye children the instruction of a father. So this day, let us pay attention to this instruction which came from another father, which in turn came from the heavenly father. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Even promised here, preservation. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now this to me is plain. And it should be plain to our understanding of a way of life that can be beneficial to each one of us. Now I would like to turn to the book of Alma, the 19th chapter, on page 446. Again, some counsel of another father to his son. And this is found in verses 18 through 20. And now the Spirit of the Lord doth say unto me, command thy children to do good. And so, as Alma spoke to his son, here, Corianton, and Corianton had went off, accomplished some wrong acts and deeds, and yet this wise father counseled his son in the wisdom of the Lord. And then he had an overall statement, which would be to you and I, the Spirit of the Lord doth say unto me, command thy children to do good, lest they lead away the hearts of many children to destruction. So if the children were commanded to do good, it says there is a key reason here, lest they lead away the hearts of many people to destruction. Therefore I command you, my son, in the fear of God, that you refrain from your iniquities. And Corianton had accomplished some very iniquitous things, even to going off after a heart. So he says, refrain from this thing and other iniquities, that ye turn to the Lord with all your mind, might, and strength. So he counseled his son, do this, that ye lead away the hearts of no more to do wickedly, but rather return unto them and acknowledge your faults and retain the wrong which ye have done. So he gave him a way to do this. Acknowledge your wrongdoings. Retain the wrong you have done. And then further he said, seek not after riches, nor the vain things of this world, for behold, you cannot carry them with you. And again, this is wise counsel. We live in a time that man places too much trust upon his possessions, upon his riches, upon the vain things of this world. But the wise counsel here, as it has been through the ages, you cannot carry them with you. When you pass from this life, you cannot take them with you. No matter how much you would like to, or how much a man would like to, he cannot do it. He brought nothing into this world, and he will carry nothing out. So it is the wise counsel today to seek the riches abroad that can give peace and harmony within our souls. I would like to turn over to the book of Jacob, the brother of Nephi, and read some of his wise counsel in the second chapter, and this is found in verses 23 and 24 on page 171. But before you seek for riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God. A verse of impact today, showing that the number one thing in our life should be the kingdom of God. Before you seek for riches, seek for this important thing in our life. And all too often, man spends his life seeking for the earthly things and fails in the search for the kingdom of God. And after you have obtained a hope in Christ, now note this closely, after ye have obtained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches if ye seek them. Now, riches are not wrong. It's how we place our trust in them that becomes wrong. The love of them is what's wrong. But this says, after you obtain that hope in Christ, after you have sought the kingdom of God, and then it says, if you really want riches and you seek them, you shall obtain them. But it goes on and gives a qualification. And ye will seek them for the intent to do good. That's number one. To clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, and to liberate the captive. And administer relief to the sick and the afflicted. So this way is clearly outlined here of what you would do when you have sought for these riches, and you will seek them for the intent to do good. I would like to turn to the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. And this is found in verses 44 through 46. The words of Christ. And they are important, and they tie with what I brought out. Again, the kingdom of heaven, sometimes we have it called the kingdom of God, sometimes we have it called the kingdom of heaven, is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. So that shows what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like unto a treasure in a field. And man, all down through the ages, has sought after treasure. And many have spent even all that they had to try to seek hidden treasures, buried treasures. Those that have been drowned in the depths of the sea, they have sought after these treasures. But here, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field, which when a man found, he sold all that he had, and he went and purchased that field that he might have that kingdom of heaven. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And again, a pearl is the thing that is desired after throughout time. Who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. It's likened unto a merchant man who found this pearl of great price. And when he found it, he sold all that he had and purchased this pearl. But again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. So we should be so intent upon seeking the kingdom of heaven that we'd be willing to sell all that we have to purchase that pearl of great price, or that kingdom of heaven that can bring that peace to our inner beings. I would like to turn to the book of Romans, the 14th chapter, and verses 17 through 19. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. And I believe that is where some do err and fall. But he says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. But listen, what it really is, but righteousness. That is number one. And peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So how well Paul placed this in his counsel to the Romans. It isn't eat and drink. It's righteousness. That's what it is. It's peace. And it's joy in the Holy Ghost. We cannot underestimate the value of joy in our individual lives. It is a promise through this Holy Ghost and joy in the Holy Ghost, and we cannot underestimate the importance of the Holy Ghost in our lives neither. For it is a promise unto those who have entered in by the way, that if they have entered in by the way, that this Holy Ghost will shew unto them all things what they should do. And it is vital. But again, this promise of this peace can be a part of our life. In a world that is in turmoil, in a world that is upset, in a world wherein people are seeking for peace and use all manner of ways to escape reality, and it does not bring peace, even into taking various kinds of drugs, dope, and other things, to bring a peace to their being, to escape the real facts of life, but finding no true peace. And yet, it says here that it's righteousness. We need righteousness in our lives. We need peace. And we need this joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable unto God and approved of men. That's a further benefit. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. So today I counsel you to follow after the things that make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. So we need to make God-like one another. We need to seek after those things that make for peace. And certainly the uncertain riches of this life all too often bring heartache. I would like to turn to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and verses 5 through 9. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. So those who would suppose that gain is godliness, Paul admonished Timothy, from such withdraw yourself. And that is applicable to each one of us today. Those who suppose that gain is godliness were even to withdraw ourselves. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We don't have to have the greatest riches in this life to be happy. And all to have, often, an increase in riches does not bring happiness. We find time and time again in the Book of Mormon. We can find it in the Bible, but perhaps even more in the Book of Mormon. A people who walk closely to God. A people who prospered in their riches, but shortly fell away into error's paths, were lifted up in pride, and began to fall. And in many instances, even persecuted their own brothers and sisters. And so, many times Christ and God had to afflict these people with famine, with death, with earthquake, and other happenings to bring them back to God. It would not have had to have been that way, because godliness with contentment is great gain. It isn't that riches necessarily bring great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now again, it isn't riches necessarily that are evil. It's how we use them and our love of them that can become evil. And again, if we put riches as a first priority in life, then it says man can fall into temptation and a snare. They that will be rich, see, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. There is a few thoughts in Proverbs again that apply. And I would like to turn to the 18th chapter of the book of Proverbs. One verse only. There's a bit more I might read there later, but I would like to read the 11th verse of the 18th chapter. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. And so all too often, man learns to trust in riches. And it says, the rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as a high wall in his own conceit, to think that with riches he could buy preservation or health or happiness or joy or any of that, because it cannot be done. It can be had by serving God and Christ, and that is the way. Let's turn to the 11th chapter of the book of Proverbs. This is found in 28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. So we must learn from this wise counsel to not trust in one's riches, because it says he shall fall. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. The righteous shall flourish as a branch. Now I would like to turn back to the 18th chapter again and read verse 10, because it ties with the verse I just brought out. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. So how different that is from some of the counsel of man. Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. I would like to turn to page 94 in the Book of Mormon and read a statement of Nephi on verses 61 through 63 concerning his knowledge of having trusted in the Lord. It again is wise counsel. It shows what he did. But, oh, I would this day that we each might say what Nephi said. O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever, not in riches, but in the Lord. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, and oh, that each one of us could say that as well. For I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. So it is important that we put our trust in our Heavenly Father. I would like to turn back again to that reading in the book of 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter. I wish to reread 9 and then read verse 10. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So it is a love of money. And it says it is the root of all evil. Now think on that. And it says those that coveted after this money, they have erred from the faith. Even maybe that faith they knew. that could place them with God in Christ in eternity. And they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So covetousness is one of the things that should not be a way of life. I copied down a few little items here. One of them was theft or robbery, such as this. It seems like this has been a way of society since the beginning, and especially there is a marked increase of it in the time in which you and I live. I noted in one city that I was in this year, a larger city, that it had went from 7,000 some odd robberies in 1980 to over 10,000 in 1981, a marked increase. And certainly, with inflation, with high unemployment, with the desire of many to purchase drugs and other things of this nature, there will be a marked increase and a continued amount of theft. And so again, the love of money, of this money, is the root of all evil. And some coveting or desiring this so much, it says, they err from the faith, they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. And so this has not brought peace to those who have become a partaker of such things. There are those who desire money so much that they would push heroin, cocaine, amphetamines, and many types of drugs for the desire of this money, little caring what they would do to the masses of people who partake of it. There's a new one in the May issue of Reader's Digest. Methacloludes, or it's called cloludes, I think for short. That is very dangerous. It causes people to act like they were drunken with alcohol. In Florida, it is equal to alcohol on deaths on the highways. It has become a major concern to many. It is a very serious drug. And the use of it has declined by surgeons or doctors and others. But it is illegally imported into the United States by those who love money. Even some doctors have prescribed it for the love of money. And the price is high. I think $6 a pill, and they might take two of them. And they will steal to get this. And so see how it ties itself together. There are those who would sell the secrets of this nation for the love of money. Classified documents. There are those who would commit treason for the love of money. There's many things I could go in today, but one other verse I believe would suffice, and I won't turn to it, but it's found in the 13th chapter of Matthew in the 22nd verse. It's the parable of the sower. It's likened unto the good seed that was sown among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked this good seed, that it never accomplished its end. And so it says, those who receive the seed among the thorns are those that hear the word, that hear this word of life that could point them to eternity with God, but because of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, it says it chokes the word and they become unfruitful, or it becometh unfruitful, or he becometh unfruitful. It's worded different ways. And he becometh unfruitful. So we literally, by allowing the deceitfulness of riches within one's life, can become unfruitful in the kingdom of God. And little would it benefit one to sell all that he had and purchase that pearl of great price, unless willing to go onward and upward, unless willing to place one's trust in this important thing that is vital for our soul well-being. But again, I want to show you
the counsel of Paul to Timothy, even as a father might counsel his child of the importance of the ways of life. And in the verse 11 of 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Those are the things that are vital in our lives. Flee these unprofitable things that do not bring peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. No, they bring heartache. One who partakes of it pierces himself through with many sorrows. And so there is needless sorrow upon the face of our earth today. There's needless sorrow in our nation. There's needless sorrow in Grand Junction, Colorado, because of those who have not learned where to place their priorities. And our priorities must be in God. We must partake of that wisdom and that understanding of the Lord that can give that inner peace to our souls. And I counsel each one of us today to partake of that peace that can give us an inner security. Let's follow after that faith, that love, even the pure love of Christ. Let's pray with all the energy of our heart that we might become filled with it. And the promise was that He has bestowed it upon all who are the true followers of Jesus Christ. Yes, let us have that patience in our life. Let us work upon it. The trying of our faith works patience. Yes, let's become those meek people. "And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." So meekness is a way of life. Meekness is another way of place or using humility, or another word for it. And we've told to humble ourselves. I would like to turn now to page 441 in the Book of Mormon. Counsel again of a wise father. First, there's only one verse I would like to bring out, the third verse of the 17th chapter, before I start this. And this again was Alma to another one of his sons, Helaman. And he says, a part of a verse, "I do know that whosoever shall put their trust in God shall be supported in their trials and their troubles and their afflictions, and shall be lifted up at the last day." So the important thing is that we learn to place our complete, full trust in God. And it said we shall be supported in our trials. It didn't say we would be free from them, and our troubles, and it didn't say we wouldn't have any trouble, but it did promise we should be supported, and even to be supported in our afflictions. But the important thing is the promise of being lifted up at the last day. Now, on page 441, verse 65, as Alma further spoke to his son Helaman, "And now, my son, remember the words which I have spoken unto you." And there is a lot of the words here. Time would not suffice for me to go into each one. But he says, "Remember the words that I've spoken unto you." And I hope that each one of you this day has allowed the words that I brought out to sink deeply into your heart, that you remember them, that they may benefit each one of you in the days ahead, even as Alma wanted his son Helaman to be benefited. And then he says, "Trust not those secret plans unto this people." They were people who followed after various secret orders and works of darkness and secret combinations, which led away to the destruction of many people. So he says, "Trust not these plans unto these people." In other words, he's trying to say they can't handle them, and I believe that. But he did say this, "But teach them an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity." So I hope that I might be able to impress you of an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity this day. "Preach unto them repentance." That's what he told his son. And so I would preach unto you this day repentance from wrong acts and deeds, and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Place your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves. This is something that we must work at. We must be taught, and we each must take this counsel and follow it. To be meek and lowly in heart. That's what He wants us each to be. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil. So the temptations are ever about us, trying to get us to follow after wrong acts and deeds. Oh, it's all right even to do a little sin. So the wrong philosophy is, it's all right to lie a little and to cheat a little. Some may say, but that is wrong, vain, false philosophy and teachings. And how do we withstand every temptation of the devil? Is with our faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not on man, not on riches, not on what you can do of your own self, but on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to never be weary of good works. And many times we might become wearied with good works, but don't. Dear brothers and sisters, each one of you, don't be weary of good works. One day they'll bear fruit in your life. They will bear fruit to your greater happiness and joy and peace. But to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest to their souls. Now we need this rest to our souls. Yes, souls in turmoil could do well to partake of this wisdom, this understanding of the Lord that could give that peace that no man can give. Oh, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. So you who are young, a special counsel to you this day. Learn wisdom while you're young. It is the easier time to learn it. But if you have not learned it, learn it now. By all means, no matter what age you may be. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Not a one of us is self-sufficient. Those today upon this earth who think they're self-sufficient are only kidding themselves. So we must learn to cry unto God for all our support. And as the days ahead unfold, you're going to find a greater need to have our trust in God. Our priority must be with God. It must become number one in our life, for He can sustain us in time of famine. And as the psalmist of old wrote, I have been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Didn't mean you might not have to go hungry. It didn't mean you might not have to suffer a bit of famine. This has happened. But he again said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I believe that by one who had weathered the trials of life, by one who had been young and now grown old, he spoke from experience. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord. And really, many times, there are doings we do that are not unto the Lord. So we better start looking into them. We better start weeding them out. We better start pulling the thorns this day that can choke that good word from our life. Even the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Do we want to become unfruitful? We will become unless we weed those thorns out of our lives. Whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. And this is a special wise counsel to the young, because there's a special pull there. Young people, youth, because the devil is trying even harder, I believe, to lead them away, that might have a greater impact upon future generations. So whatever you go or wherever you do, let it be unto the Lord. Let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. And all too often, things will happen. Things will happen among brothers and sisters. They get to thinking things and thoughts that are not always the best. We allow ourselves to think things we should never think. And maybe our fellow being don't even know what we're thinking. Maybe they may not even know what type of person you really are. But God knows. You can't hide one thought from Him today. Not a one of you can even hide what you think, or what you've even heard in this sermon, or your impression of it. You cannot hide it from God this day. So we must learn to deal justly and kindly one with another. Let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings. Now this is a commandment, and He will direct thee for good. There is a promise. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord.